Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. The Bible says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding." Notice, please, that right alongside of truth that is so highly exalted in this verse, wisdom, discipline, and understanding is there. But notice what is at the top of the list, truth. The Bible says, buy truth. Pay the price to get it, whatever it takes. Make sure you have truth and do not sell it. Don't exchange it for anything. The Bible teaches very clearly all throughout the pages of Scripture, from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, just how important truth is. In fact, it's preeminent. This morning I'm going to be preaching a sermon entitled "The Preeminence of Truth." Somebody might say, well, I wonder why truth is exalted so much in the pages of the Bible. The reason truth is exalted so much in God's Word is because we behave and our goals are set in accord to what we accept as truth. The reason you do what you do and the reason that you have the priorities that you have in your life is based upon what you accept as truth. If all of us in here believe that the Jehovah's Witness teachings were correct, none of us would be in here this morning. None of us. If all of us believe that money was the most important thing to have in this world, or worldly fame or something like that, and we had an opportunity to make large amounts of money or to increase our popularity here, we certainly would not be listening to the Scriptures. But because of what we believe in regards to truth, we behave a certain way and our goals and values are a certain kind of way. Remember, years ago, we were on our way to Louisiana. I have relatives that live in Louisiana, and we were traveling down south in a car. We were in Arkansas. It was getting dark, and my father was driving the car, and there was a man coming up the road. We were traveling real slow. We had just stopped for something to drink and go to the restroom, and he was able to ask the man directions, and since he was coming from this particular way down the same road that we're headed for, we thought perhaps he certainly should know, if anybody would, just where that road would lead. So my father asked him for directions in regards to a certain road and if we could meet that road traveling the path that we were going. And this man told us that we could. He told us that if we proceeded down that road that we would find this particular route that we were interested in finding. Okay, unfortunately, my father accepted as truth what the man said. So he behaved in a certain kind of a way. He thought it was true. Drove down that road, and that little paved road wasn't very wide. Became smaller and smaller, and soon it was a gravel road. And now we're out in the sticks somewhere, and now it's dark, and we don't know where we are. We're in Arkansas somewhere. So it goes to show you just how important it is that we know what the truth is. And that's just one of the many illustrations we all could give. We could all give just how important it is to know what truth is. I remember several years ago, I wanted to work on my mother's commode. And the little lever that you have to push down to flush the commode, well, when you push that down, there's a little arm on the inside that goes up. And it pulls up the rubber ball, and the water flushes down. Okay, now that broke the little lever on the inside, and I went to the hardware store and I bought a replacement for it, and it was looked like it was a piece of copper, but it was plastic, painted with copper paint. And I thought for sure it was a piece of copper. So what can you do with copper? You can bend copper. And here I brought that home, and I thought, well, for this to fit, I'm going to have to bend it a little bit, which is no problem because copper bends. I didn't know it was plastic. I didn't know what the truth was about what I bought. And I went to bend it and it broke. I was deceived. It appeared to be copper, but it wasn't copper, it was plastic. Okay, we could give an illustration in the natural in regards to somebody with appendicitis. What if you had appendicitis and you went into the hospital, you told them that you had pains in your right side and the doctor examined you, and he knew that you had appendicitis. He knew what the truth was, but he didn't tell you what the truth was. He told you that it's just gas pains. Don't worry about anything. You're going to be all right. You can go back home. Of course, that could be fatal. Even though sometimes to hear the truth isn't the most appealing, it's certainly preeminent in Scripture. And I'm going to show you some very surprising verses this morning, I think, that will help show you just how preeminent truth is. After all, who wants to have an operation unexpectedly? You might have plans 2 or 3 weeks away to go and do this or go and do that. But all of a sudden, all that's going to be interrupted because the truth declares that your appendix are about to burst unless you immediately have an operation. Somebody said truth is a bitter pill to swallow. That's why when we give the gospel message to people, a lot of people are offended because they hear the truth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. The Lord Jesus taught everything in perfect wisdom and gave perfect truth to the people. And we see in chapter 15 of Matthew's gospel, verse 12, that certain people there in the audience, namely the Pharisees, were offended. Matthew 15, verse 12. They were offended by what Jesus taught, and what Jesus taught was the truth. And what did he say that offended them? He said that you nullify the word of God by your teachings. Was it true or was it false? It was true. Why were they offended? Because they heard the truth. Sometimes truth isn't very appealing, but truth is very valuable because, number one, you behave according to what you accept is true. And number two, your goals and your priorities and your values will always be in accordance to what you accept as true. That is what you really believe is true. You really believe it. If you would look the word truth up in a secular dictionary, you would find out that it means conformity to reality. And that certainly would apply to how we understand this word in the Bible. Also, we could add to that definition and we could say that it is the actual state of a thing not necessarily measured by a yardstick, such as the purpose of life or how to deal with the affairs of this life. Because these things are addressed right here in the Word of God and what the Bible says is truth in regards to these things. And this conforms to reality in a way, but you see the Bible contains not only reality and fact in regards to the natural, but also, of course, the supernatural. That's why we have to go to God's Word. If you would look the word truth up in the Hebrew, you would find out that it means certainty, it means something that is sure and something that is trustworthy. Well, that makes sense. If it's conforming to reality, then it must be trustworthy. What Jesus said when he gave the plan of salvation was trustworthy because it was truth. And if the facts are that you have appendicitis and you need an operation to continue to live, even though you might not like what the doctor would say, that message would be trustworthy, even though it might hurt and offend to some degree. Now, remember the opening verse that I gave, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. In other words, value truth as it should be valued. Make sure you put truth at the top of your priority list. Spend your time if you have to get truth. Take in knowledge, whatever you have to do, but learn the facts that conform with reality. And don't trade it for anything. Don't exchange truth for anything. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Holy Spirit had to say in regards to truth. Now, the opposite of truth is lies, deception, and falsehood. And according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, love is the opposite of evil, or evil is the opposite of love. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that Hebrews chapter 6 teaches very clearly that God cannot lie? It says he cannot lie because God is love. And to lie would be evil. And since God is love, he can't lie because that would be evil. That would be unloving. So he can't. It's interesting to study through the scriptures. You will find out that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said about himself that he was the truth. Of course, I just cited that God cannot lie. He can't lie. On the other hand, in contrast to what God is, we see that the devil, the arch enemy of man who wants to damn us and who is the epitome of evil, he has no truth in him. He is the father of lies and he is, according to what Jesus said, a murderer. Turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said, you belong to your father, the devil, and want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. How could he be a murderer? I wondered about that for years. Why is it that Jesus said the devil is a murderer? Well, because sin pays a wage which is death. To cause someone to die is to murder that person. And he causes people to sin, or he leads them into sin through deception. I'd like to ask you a question. Let's consider Eve. Let's consider this subject of truth. Let's consider the devil, who is a murderer. Why is it Eve sinned? It certainly wasn't because she had an abundance of truth. She didn't have an abundance of truth, did she? In fact, she was deceived. She didn't know what the truth was. If she would have had the truth, she would have been protected from the harm that came to her, which came to Adam, which came to all of mankind. Okay, now, remember, buy the truth and do not sell it. The Bible has a lot to say about truth. The Bible tells us very clearly, Jesus, who loves everyone and doesn't want anyone to perish, he gave us a very clear warning about something that is of primary danger to sheep, a savage wolf that looks like a sheep. What did he say such was? Matthew 7:15, false prophet. Why did Jesus say that? Listen to me. In Jeremiah's day, chapter 23, verse 16, the false prophets filled people, now listen to me, with false hopes. Back in that day, we learned that the false hopes given the people were that they would not be carried off into captivity. Even though they were wicked and corrupt, they would not be carried off. I'd like to give you a few false hopes that we hear today in our day and age. Listen to this. All of us have heard these things. Prevalent false hopes in our day. Reincarnation. You know, reincarnation offers false hope to people that will hurt people. How about purgatory? So all you have to do is just slip into purgatory sooner or later, according to the doctrine of purgatory, that you will come out of purgatory. How about annihilation of the wicked? Well, the Bible teaches there is no chance for those that would die in their sins. Forever they will be tormented, never without any relief. How about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man? And how about this one? You've heard me say this before. You heard me speak out against unconditional eternal security. How about the false hope that unconditional eternal security offers people that decide after they truly get saved that they are just going to live a shaky kind of a life? They're not going to be committed as they should be committed. Why did Jesus say what he did in regards to a false prophet? They offer false hopes, which will hurt people. Tell me, reincarnation hurt people? Purgatory, the annihilation of the wicked, unconditional eternal security, believing the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. If you believe those things, or if you know people that believe those things, and we all do, they behave a certain way, and their goals are channeled in a certain direction because of what they accept is true. The Bible does not teach any of them. If it did, I would believe in purgatory. I'd believe in reincarnation. Wouldn't you? If Jesus taught reincarnation, wouldn't you believe it? But since it's not taught, it's a false hope offered by a savage wolf that is leading people in a certain kind of pattern of behavior and causing their goals to be different than where they should be, and it will ultimately lead to their destruction because they don't know what the truth is about this particular subject. All kind of people are deceived in our day and age. Let me give you an example of some current deception. Some people think that some homosexuals are saved. Some think that some drunkards are saved. Some think that some liars are saved. Some think that you can have Jesus as Savior but not as your Lord. Some think that the world conditions will continually get better and better. Some think that the rapture will occur before the times get real hard. Some think that spirit guides referred to by the New Age movement can benefit us. They're deceived. They can't. Some think that white witchcraft can actually do some good. After all, doesn't the person get a physical healing? Some think that evolution is how it all began. All the people that would believe in these things, they would be deceived. They wouldn't know what the truth is, and they would be in a very dangerous position. Surprisingly, if you read through the New Testament in regards to this subject of truth, this is what you'll find out about people. Now listen to this. I said before that truth is very valuable, but unfortunately, it tends to hurt at times. It tends to be something we don't necessarily want to hear. Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 1:16 that some people will suppress the truth, even though it's so valuable, even though we should buy the truth and sell it not. According to Acts 20, verse 13, some will distort the truth. Romans 2, 8, some will reject the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10, some refuse to love the truth and so be saved. 1 Timothy 6, 5, some people are robbed of the truth. 2 Timothy 2, 18, some have wandered away from the truth. How about this one? Some people turn their ears away from the truth. That must mean that their ears were first turned to the truth to later be turned away from the truth. Could it be that there's an offense that sometimes comes with truth? Like we read over here in Matthew chapter 15, what happened when Jesus gave the teaching he did in that particular chapter? The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:17 and 18, their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. Now listen to this. If you don't know what the truth is, if you wander away, you'll behave in a certain way and your goals will be a certain kind, won't they? It says right here, they say that the resurrection has already taken place and they destroy the faith of some. So you see, their goals were different than Paul's. Their behavior was different than Paul's and Peter's. And now please notice the consequence of what their message going out caused. It didn't build one's faith. What did it do? It destroyed the faith of some. Falsehood and lies destroys the faith of some according to this. The opposite of falsehood, truth. The opposite of the works of the devil would be truth. The Bible tells us something about God Almighty. I like this. This really blessed me. I accumulated this information over the course of quite a few months. It says in Philippians 4:9 that God is the God of peace. It says he's the God of hope in Romans 15, verse 13, that he's the God of love in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. But listen to this one. He's the God of truth in Psalm 31, verse 5. The true and the living God, the one that we worship and serve, is the God of peace, hope, love, and truth. If the devil is opposed to God, and God's the God of truth, no wonder the devil is the father of deception. That's why he's a murderer. That's why we see him in the first and the last times in the Bible and all throughout the middle of the scriptures, deceiving, because that's how he accomplishes the very things that he wants to do. How he destroys is through deception. I made a comment here, I think it was just last week, that one of the greatest ways to oppose the works of darkness is with truth. Surprisingly, Jesus said that he came down to earth to testify to the truth. But John said that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Of course, Jesus died on the cross, and we can see about 8 or 10 different reasons why he came, all of them centering around the cross. But it's interesting to me, when you compare those two scriptures, that he destroyed the works of the devil, and he came to testify to the truth, and he must have destroyed the works of the devil with truth. Well, that makes sense, since the kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of the devil, and it prevails through deception. Now, I want you to listen to this, because I gave a definition of truth before. Listen to the biblical definition of truth. Now, this is important because we hear people in our day and age say this. If it works, it's true. You ever hear that? I've heard that a number of times. That's the definition of some teachers. I've heard a well-known teacher on TV say that. If it works, it's true. Well, what does the Bible say? We need to go to the Bible. The Bible says in John 17, 17, listen, that truth will sanctify us. The Bible says in John 8, 31 and 32, that the truth will set us free from sin. And then thirdly, the truth will lead us to godliness. Titus 1, 1. Therefore, this is the biblical definition of what truth is. Truth leads one to be sanctified, leads him to be free from his sins, and leads him into godliness. It has nothing to do necessarily with something working here in the natural, but it has everything to do with one's spiritual condition. Listen to me. The truth leads to godliness. When the prodigal son received the truth in his mind and in his heart in regards to sin, that it just doesn't yield pleasure, that in sin is heartache and misery and sorrow, it led him to godliness. Didn't it? It led him to a place where he was freed from his sins that caused his current condition of death. He wanted to get right back into the presence of the Father. What preceded life for him? Truth. That's exactly what 2 Thessalonians 2 says. Before one can be saved, they must hear the truth. Let me ask you a question. Why is the Bible so valuable? Because it contains the truth. If the Bible wasn't truth, it would be worthless. Why is it the Book of Mormon is poisonous, and the Quran, and the Bhagavad Gita, the Angus, and the Avesta, and all the other ones? Because it's not the truth. The Bible is the truth. Those other books are not the truth, even though they claim to be the truth. The truth leads to godliness, to sanctification, and it leads to one being set free from their bondage to sin. Jesus is the epitome of truth. John chapter 8, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. How in the world can he do it? He's truth. Listen to me. The prodigal son came to his senses. If you're at your senses, that is, if you know the truth, you always go to God. That's why the devil deceives. The reason some people are not going to God is only one reason. They don't know what the truth is. If they knew what the truth was, they would run to get to the presence of the Father. It's because they're deceived that they procrastinate coming to Jesus, or they're living a lukewarm life, not fully committed as they should be. Because to some degree, they're deceived, and that manifests in their behavior and in the goals and priorities and values that they embrace. It all comes back around to what they accept as truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't exchange it for anything. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. Let's jump back to Proverbs. Chapter 14, verse 25 says this: a truthful witness saves lives. Did you hear that? A truthful witness saves lives. Do you see that truth is associated with life? If we share God's word and God's word is truth, then people will be saved. We will benefit other people and ourselves by knowing what the truth is. Just the mere fact that we know it will cause our example to be more beneficial for the kingdom of God. The Bible speaks of deceiving spirits, and things that are taught by demons all led to deceive, to lead people into falsehood. Just last night, I was thinking about this sermon, and it really hit me in a way that it has never hit me before. In Revelation 22:15, we learn that all those that practice and love falsehood will end up outside of the city in the lake of fire. Now, you know, if you just take a casual look at that, and you think of some of the things that are listed along with that, you wonder, how in the world or why in the world would God be so severe with those that practice falsehood? I think the answer is found in Proverbs 26. Look at verses 18 and 19. The Bible says this. Proverbs chapter 26, 18 and 19. Like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You see, such a person, first of all, wouldn't recognize the value of truth and would not recognize how lethal and how poisonous deception is. Just like somebody shooting a poisonous arrow at someone, tell me, what kind of an effect would a poisonous arrow have on the person that it would strike? Obviously, it could be fatal. What about firebrands? Do you know what a firebrand is? If you would have a campfire and you would have the sticks in the campfire that would be burning, stick that would be burning would be a firebrand. Tell me, can you do any harm being hit with a flaming piece of charcoal? Now, please listen to me. I read off a list before where people reject the truth. Now, something that is as precious as truth, if you don't know what the truth is, you will pay dearly for it. Even here in the natural, we need to know the truth about food that we eat, the car that we drive, and many other things that we do here in the natural. Not to mention, of course, the most important is spiritual truth. Primarily, how do we get into the kingdom of God? And what is it that God wants us to do now in this life? 1 Timothy 3:15 says, the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. Why in the world would we be the pillar and foundation of truth? We are God's representatives. We are to speak God's word. And that's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word, because preach the word is preach the truth. People need to hear the truth so they won't be destroyed by the devil's schemes. Eve would have never rebelled had she known the truth. In Luke 18, 9 through 14, we read where two people went up into the temple to pray. They both needed mercy and forgiveness, both the Pharisee and the tax collector. One walked away forgiven, the other walked away unforgiven, because one knew what the truth was and the other did not know what the truth was. One knew that he was a sinner in need of God's mercy and the other did not know the truth that he too was a sinner in need of God's mercy. He didn't know what the truth was. Why did Jesus preach as he did? Why did Paul preach as he did? Listen to me. Our chief goal in this life as Christians, as representatives of God, is this: to spread the truth that's found right here in the Bible, God's Word. Because if you spread the truth, you're spreading God's Word. That's how you destroy the deception that's in people's hearts that will help them come out of the ensnarement to sin that they are in. Nobody in their right mind would stay away from God if they knew the truth. Nobody. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Isn't it sad that some have sold the truth? It grieves me. Some have bought truth, and then after they had it for their own, they sold truth. What did they sell truth for? Well, let me give you some of the things that people sell truth for. Listen to me. Some people will sell truth for man's approval, man's favor, for job benefits, for popularity, for wealth, to escape persecution. They will sell the truth, even though truth is that precious that a truthful witness saves lives. You might have to pay a dear price to get truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, pay it, pay the price to get it. And whatever you do, don't let go of truth. Why is it that some Christians were burned at the stake? Why is it some were persecuted to their death? Well, they bought the truth and they wouldn't exchange it for a few more years here in the natural. Wouldn't exchange it for anything else that this world could afford. Any kind of popularity, any kind of blessings that would be temporal. All the false hopes that are offered in our day and age through teachings, like I said, purgatory, reincarnation. How many people are deceived? Thinking that you can be saved having Jesus as Savior but not as Lord. Do you know that that's one of the major controversies right now today circulating in so-called Christendom, that you can be saved without having Jesus as Lord? To have Jesus as Lord is a second level, higher level Christian than the first level Christian, which merely has Jesus as Savior. But that's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll perish. You can't have him as Savior unless you submit to him, unless you follow him. He said, if any man come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. A lot of people don't know what the truth is, and they're paying a dear price here and will in eternity because they don't know what the truth is. Buy it, don't exchange it. Don't distort it, don't suppress it, don't reject it, don't refuse it, don't be robbed of it, don't wander away from it, don't turn your ears from it, and don't oppose it, because it's that valuable. It's going to do so much for you and for others. Talking about that which conforms to reality. This lady I recently had a chance to witness to very briefly, handed her a tract, and she said she was a believer. And as she was walking away, she said, I believe in reincarnation. And I said, Jesus never believed in reincarnation. And she hollered back. She's walking across the street. You can't show me that from the Bible. I said, oh, yes, I can. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. The rich man and Lazarus. Jesus never believed in reincarnation, did he? She's walking around because she doesn't have the truth, under a false hope, behaving a certain way, having goals and priorities and values in the wrong direction, deceived by the devil. Right where the devil wants her, thinking she's going to get another chance. Hasn't paid the price to get the truth. You know what the price is that we might have to pay? So many eloquent speakers on the radio and TV and all over America. The only way you will know what the truth is to humble yourself before God and study the Bible for yourself. God declared that you will find him when you seek him with all of your heart. And since he is truth, you will find the truth when you seek for truth with all of your heart. Where do you have to go? To the only book that he's given us that contains his truth, called the Holy Bible. Listen to me. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15 that we are to speak the truth in love. Paul did that. He was hated. He was persecuted. He was misunderstood. He was mocked. He was martyred. What did he do? Told people the truth. The number one thing they must have to get saved. Somebody that's unsaved is under some kind of delusion, and they need that delusion eradicated before they can come to their spiritual senses. So they're going to have to hear the opposite of deception, which is truth. And like I said before, listen, let me say it again. God cannot lie because God is love. And if you're walking in love, you're going to tell people the truth, even though it might bother you because you're thinking they might get offended at what I say. They still must hear the truth. Remember a number of years ago when people took Tylenol and they died? As a consequence, it was poisoned. Do you remember that? Why do you think they took those Tylenol tablets? They didn't know what the truth was. And it's just like that in the spiritual. People are taking poisoned, quote-unquote, food, and it's leading them to death because of their deception. We behave, and our life's goals will always depend upon what concepts, experiences, and teachings that we accept as truth. This makes truth extremely valuable, and that's why it's so precious in the Bible, and it's worth contending for. Now, I want you to see something in Galatians 2 that will, I think, put the icing on the cake on this subject on truth. Galatians chapter 2 will be the subject that I would like to mention primarily, but before we do that, I would just like to read one other verse from Ephesians, because to get the full import of what the Apostle Paul did in Galatians 2, you have to understand how he felt about unity. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, if anybody was a unity preacher, it was the Apostle Paul. Paul preached the importance of unity. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, he said, similarly, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. No doubt the Apostle Paul recognized the importance of unity. Now, I want you to see, what did Paul exalt at the top of the priority list as far as he was concerned? Was it unity or was it truth? This is where Galatians chapter 2 comes in. This is quite a chapter to meditate upon. This is really why I'm preaching this sermon that I'm preaching this morning, was because recently read over Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul cited two times when unity and truth clashed, which is the most important. And we see in the beginning of this chapter, he's talking right over here in regards to the subject of circumcision, and he talked about some people that held to the idea that you would have to be circumcised to be saved, called them false brothers in verse 4. Now listen, verse 5, we did not give in to them, that is those that preach that you had to be circumcised to be saved, for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. You see, Paul was more concerned with the truth. He wasn't going to sell the truth for unity, was he? He wasn't going to sell the truth for popularity. He was willing to jeopardize unity for the sake of truth. Right here, we learn that the truth of the gospel, which is really the plan of salvation, must come so that we can have eternal life. I mean, that's in brackets, so that we could have eternal life. We know that from other passages. He wasn't going to jeopardize that for the sake of unity. Later on in the same chapter, now you might say, well, that was just false brothers. Well, later on in the chapter, we find out what he did in regards to Peter, who certainly was not a false brother. He was a fellow apostle. Look at verse 14. When I saw that they, which included Peter, some unnamed Christians, which were Jews, and even Barnabas, were not acting in the line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all. And he went ahead and rebuked them in regards to their error. This shows, again, that truth is preeminent. That's why we don't see that the Apostle Paul or Jesus, primarily Jesus, since he's the ultimate example of what truth is and the way that we should govern our lives, why he never gave the impression to anyone that unity was more important than truth, or by allowing, for example, there are many things that could be said, but for example, in our day and age, sharing the teaching platform with a false teacher, someone that would represent a false religion, preaching a false plan of salvation. Very clearly, we see right here that we must not give that impression. It says in the Old Testament that with truth comes security and protection. Of course, just the opposite is true. If you're not in the truth, if you don't know what the facts are, then you realize how dangerous position you are in, even though you might not recognize it. If you were driving down the road and your front wheel was about to fall off your car and you didn't know it, you would obviously be in great danger. But if you knew the truth about the condition of your car, even though you might not want to hear it, that would certainly benefit you if you would not reject the truth, if you would not oppose the truth. What if there were others in a car with you and you didn't want them to hear the truth? Well, you might want to suppress the truth. That would endanger them. and yourself to do that. We as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus, we are to tell people the truth even though they might be offended. And by the way, since people were offended at Jesus, people get offended at what we say doesn't necessarily mean that we were in the wrong. The mere fact that it's truth tends to offend people. Jesus wasn't wrong, and yet they got offended. But of course, we're to do all that we can not to offend anyone. We're to speak the truth in love. And hopefully, when they hear the truth, they will receive the truth, and that will lead them to godliness. Now, since God doesn't want anyone to perish, He wants everyone to know what the truth is. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 4. It says something about God, that He wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Do you know what the knowledge of the truth is? Well, Titus 1:1 says it leads to godliness. If what a person accepts as truth doesn't lead them to godliness, then it must not be God's truth. If it doesn't lead them towards sanctification, then it must not be God's truth. And if it doesn't tend to keep them free and to get them free from their sins, then it must not be God's truth. How God wants us to share truth with people so they won't have false hopes. And by the way, if you would jump back to Jeremiah 23, compare verses 15 and 16, you would find out that false hopes lead to ungodliness. Purgatory, reincarnation, unconditional eternal security. Boy, isn't that the truth about unconditional eternal security? Doesn't that lead to ungodliness? When Jesus said to His disciples that you must endure to the end to be saved, He was speaking to people that were already saved. And there are many scriptures that could back that up. And that teaching leads to ungodliness. So much more could be said on the subject of truth and deception and falsehood. Some people here and they just don't want it because the price is too great. Some people here, they have to repent of their sins, and they don't like that idea of repenting of their sins because they like the pleasure of sin. And they reject the truth of repentance from their sins for salvation, and they want to believe a lie that they're saved anyhow. Or that everybody's going to heaven, that none will perish. Or that hell is the grave. How important it is to know the truth. I believe the reason the devil has offered all these false religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, etc., 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 is to help conceal the truth. What does he care as long as you're deceived? He doesn't care if you're deceived by Hinduism or Buddhism or Islam. What in the world difference does it make? As long as he can destroy you by believing a lie. That's all he wants you to do. Be deceived. Since we know that we have to buy the truth and sell it not, don't sell out for man's approval, man's favor, job benefits, popularity, wealth, or to escape persecution. Since we know truth is that important, now tell me, what is our only source or only standard of truth? Since we're to test everyone and test everything, we must have a standard. Can't test something without a standard to test it by. Of course, everybody here knows the answer, at least you should. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us it's what? Scripture. Scripture is our standard for truth. If it doesn't line up with God's word, don't believe it. It's not the truth, and it won't lead one to eternal blessings, but exactly the opposite way. Truth. Do you appreciate it more now than you did before? Do you realize how important it is to know what the truth is about something, even something in the natural? How important it is to know what the facts are. Isn't that why the devil comes as an angel of light trying to conceal the truth? Isn't that why the devil offers all this falsehood that seems so good, all this deception? Miracles? You would think, well, what in the world could be wrong with somebody getting healed? If you study Padre Pio's ministry, there was a girl that had no pupils in her eyes. He prayed for her and she was healed. What could be evil about that? Because it would tend to keep one in the deception of the message that Padre Pio preached, which was Catholicism. Saved by the sacraments and good works and church membership. Of course, that won't save us because we're saved by grace through faith. Buy the truth, sell it not. Don't sell out. Value truth as it should be valued. Put it right at the very pinnacle of what you're striving for. Without the truth, you don't know what reality is. Now, we know what reality is because we read the truth in regards to Judgment Day. Some people are walking around even though they've been saved and they're fearing death. No need to fear death if you know what the truth is. What's the truth? When you die, good! You're going to a better place. Your sufferings are over. That's the truth. The devil would like us to be anxious and fearful about that and about a lot of other things. If you know the truth, it will set you free. The truth will set you free. If the truth sets us free, then falsehood must keep us in bondage. Can you see how important it is to know the truth? Can you see how one little falsehood can lead to more falsehood? Now, I mentioned this, and I just want to say this in closing, and I will close after this statement. The Apostle Paul, very clearly in Galatians chapter 2, stood boldly and unflinchingly for the truth of the plan of salvation, which we must do. Whatever you do, don't sell out for anything in regards to the plan of salvation. Hopefully now you can see why the enemy has a motive, one primary motive, to deceive. He doesn't care how he does it, just so he could deceive. And how important it is to know what the facts are that conform with reality, or to know the truth about a given teaching or an experience or person. The Bible tells us, buy the truth, do not sell it for anything.
None of these tapes are copyrighted, and you have our permission and are encouraged to reproduce them for free distribution. For a complete catalog of other available tapes and materials, please write Evangelical Outreach, Box 265, Washington, PA 15301.